This is Father Chad Arnold. I am at the Midwest Catholic Family Conference. I just finished setting up our booth and all of our recording equipment. Mass is going on right now. I've already said Mass today, so I'm not there. But it's a little bit quiet around here right now. Father Drew and Father Garrett have not yet showed up. They don't know I'm recording this, so I want to put this out there in front. This is all Father Drew's idea. So if it goes well, I'll give credit where credit is due. But I'm just saying right now, I have my doubts. And to confirm those doubts, one of the priests came by earlier today. And we all agreed, Father Garrett, Father Drew, and I agreed that we were going to record at 7 p.m. Apparently, Father Drew told all the priests to come by to be in the podcast, but gave them the wrong time. So, I don't know how this is going to go, but we're going to find out.
I would like to invite each of you to listen carefully to God's voice in your heart. Listen to His voice. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid.
All right. Father Drew just told me to hit record. He is steering this boat. I have no idea what's going on. Mass is going on right now, so we are just trying to pick unholy people that are not at Mass to be guests on us. So do you have anyone for us, Drew?
Well, it looks like we have as our first guest today, the least holy man I know, Father Adam Grellinger, chaplain of the only Catholic university in the Diocese of Wichita. Adam,
why would the chaplain of the Catholic university not be at Mass right now?
Oh, that's a great question. I just got back from a retreat, though.
Hey!
Right? Oh, hey! Someone,
yeah, Holy Endeavor. Planning things for the university for this year, so.
Chad's playing with the buttons again.
I am
going to
rock the buttons. Right. You just got applause.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Introduce yourself. Who are you? What are you doing? What's going on?
I am.
Welcome to About 4 O'Clock.
Thank you. This is a great honor to be on.
How do you start it?
Oh, yeah, we're recording.
How do you start it? A podcast on discernment.
Oh, hello. My name is Father Chad Arnold, and you are listening to About 4 O'Clock, a podcast on vocations and discernment. We are coming to you with a special live episode.
We're coming at you live.
Live. To my right is Father Garrett Burns.
What's up?
To my left is Father Drew Hoffman.
We're doing it.
And right across from me, our latest guest, Father Adam Grellinger.
So I'm curious, though, what's the name of this studio?
What is the name of this studio, Drew?
Yeah, let's put it on him. We're doing it live.
I told Drew beforehand that I did not think this was a good idea, so everything falls on him.
This is the St. Isidore studio.
Ah.
St. Isidore was married, so we'll call that as a family, and Blessed Marie is also canonized or beatified, or we don't actually really know. We thought that there was a ghost who inhabited St. Isidore, that it was Marie, and that she was mad that everyone said St. Isidore but didn't say her name. That's a true story.
I actually saw St. Isidore's tomb, Anne Marie's tomb, this summer, a few months ago.
Oh, okay, that's right. You were in Spain.
Right, so... Actually, really cool, even though the history is crazy of how they move the body like 100 times.
Let's talk about it, baby. Yeah. Get it popping. Chad was on the Camino,
That's
too.
Right.
We want to hear about it.
As I was leaving the Camino, Adam was just starting. We were on it on the same time, but on different parts, right?
I believe so. I was starting out, and you are finishing.
That's right.
The same.
Tell us a little bit about your Camino experience.
It's not really a Camino for him. He hasn't finished yet.
Oh.
Go on.
It's ongoing, right? Metaphor for life.
It's like just starting.
That's like heaven
here.
It's so deep.
Not there yet.
Oh, man.
So I'm still a pilgrim. I'm still on the way.
Yes.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, it's deep. Yeah.
So St. Isidore is the best tomb in Spain?
There's like a medieval tomb of St. Isidore, which is, what would they say? It was the most impressive medieval relic in all of Spain still. His like tomb, which is all covered in paintings and reliefs.
I can get behind that.
So yes, actually.
Where's he
incredible.
At? Where's he at?
In Madrid, right?
No.
They're having the year of
it. It was Madrid, yeah. That's right.
They're having the year of St. Isidore right now.
I feel like I should have known that. Madrid. I was there.
That's a tough scene for our boy.
I was there for someone else.
That's
right. St. James.
How was the Camino? Chad has talked about it.
The part of the Camino that you did.
Not the whole Camino. It's a great point, Gare.
Adam did the first part. So he's actually going to do the full Camino. I did like the last quarter. Adam's doing the full part. So you did the first part with your folks this summer, right? First half?
Correct. Yep. From Saint-Jean, France to Sahagún, Spain. So the first 253 miles of about a 500-mile journey.
Oh, you start in France?
Yeah.
If you do
but
it right.
But your first day, you
Stolen
end
valor.
In Spain. So
why? That seems like a little... That seems like an extra. I guess they didn't have these firm boundaries.
That is not the Drew Hoffman way.
I don't understand why he wouldn't have just started it on the Spanish border.
You got me. I think the Spaniards actually start in Roncesvalles, like that first city. They don't. The Spaniards won't start in Spain or in France.
Isn't the first day like the hardest too?
Or you go over the Pyrenees. Yeah. So.
What do you mean you go over the Pyrenees on day one?
Yeah, you just go over the mountains. It's kind of wild.
How far do you go?
Oh, it was 28 kilometers. I forget.
Yeah, something like that.
Kilometers. No podcast talks more about kilometers than about 4 kilometers.
Literally miles. You know, I don't even know what the conversion is.
Christ is international.
How was this trip edifying for your priesthood? A lot of us were working in the United States this summer. It's just like...
A lot of us were working in the United States?
Some of us.
But it's to each their own, and I understand that a lot. And so how was this something that's going to impact your priesthood as you enter back into college ministry?
Well, I think it impacted me in a way that I didn't expect because it's not a super religious pilgrimage, at least on the front end. There's a lot of, you go through a lot of really Catholic towns, like big churches, all the statues and imagery, but there's not a lot of faith, and a lot of the churches are closed or turned into museums. And a lot of the people on the journey, 80% or more, we're not doing it for Christian reasons, really. So I had this experience of like walking through a post-Christian world, which was kind of a weird experience. But it just kind of convicted me more of like, we got to share the gospel. Like, I don't want my home, I don't want Wichita to look like that, where we have all these churches and we've got cool statues and... But there's not faith. There's no people that care. I don't want that to happen. So I was kind of inspired to go back to the university and let's let people know about the good news. And
amen.
That's a good takeaway. It's a good takeaway.
Did you wear your clerics?
I did not.
Yeah, it's a conversation we've had.
I wore a stole on the back of my pack, hoping that would help. But most people had no idea what that was. They're like, what's that thing mean? Like,
why is your bandana so thin? What's that?
Next time I might wear clerics.
Are you just like talking to random people when you're on the Camino?
Yes.
Like, how do conversations start?
I talked mostly with our pilgrimage group because I was trying to be that. But yeah, you did probably more random strangers.
Yeah. You see a number of the people each day. So you're talking to people again and again. But yeah, you just start passing people and you ask where they're from. And it's quick to get into deep conversations on the Camino because everybody's out there doing this kind of strange thing. And so you're asking about the big questions of life pretty quick.
So is there people like you think you'll keep up with?
Oh, no. I mean, I didn't exchange numbers with
I think that
anybody.
Does happen were, with some people.
Yeah.
I mean, with my pilgrimage group, I'll keep up with those. But no one I met on the Camino am I going to keep up with.
Shout out Dane West. I remember Dane Westhoff we went to seminary with. I think he became like bros with some of the people he met. Just rando on the hostels.
Yeah.
My brother, I think, at least on Facebook, you know, once a year or whatever, there's these two guys from Italy and a girl from Michigan or whatever, and you kind of see them several times throughout the trip. And so, you became friends, pilgrims on the way. So,
The guy that organized it, Albert Urach, I mean, he keeps up with a few people from his first pilgrimage. Yeah, so it happens.
I can't wait to
just do it. So it's like, okay, this guy lives in Germany. In case I ever visit,
how would this work?
Not starting in France.
I don't. I just don't understand. I mean,
there's not room for your passport. Like, I don't understand.
It just seems like an additional burden to bring France into it. It's like,
so you can see across like country borders. That's cool.
No, I mean, people have been crossing the French borders. I think there's a World War I and II joke in here.
Did
somewhere.
I tell you?
I mean,
I can't quite get there.
Did I tell you guys when I landed back from the Camino, I decided there was only one fitting way to end it. So I get out the airport at Wichita. I'm like, well, I'm walking home. There's no point in getting a ride there. So 7 miles from the airport to the house, 105 degrees. Just got my backpack. My heck with it. I'm walking home.
You did not.
7 p.m. in my clerics, walking down, crossing Kellogg on Ridge Road. Just like, this is how you end this. You got to walk home.
Are you kidding?
Simone even tried to pick me up. I'm like, no, I'm finished this all the way to the door. So I sent him back to the house.
Why didn't you do that? You live at the house.
I was with my parents, and I was going to abandon.
Who drove? Your parents. Yeah, they would never be able to.
They'd never forgive you.
What was that like going with your parents? So it was just the three of you?
It was, which is really cool. Yeah. I had not spent that much time with them since I lived at home years ago.
That is cool.
So got to spend a lot of time with them and like time as a priest, which, you know, as soon as you become a priest, you get really busy and you see them every once in a while, sadly. But, he's like, I should go home
what
more.
What the heck?
No, it's
your assignments, you haven't been in like Pittsburgh or something. You're a priest at Blessed Sacrament. That's like 7 minutes from your house.
All right. All right.
Okay, so you finally saw your parents 5 years in a priesthood.
Yeah, I finally saw them and, but like to be a priest with them and to like have mass for them in the albergues and in the churches.
That would be cool.
And, yeah.
That is awesome.
Pretty cool. Pray with them along the way. And then my dad had just had too much joy. Just like random people, he'd be like, hey, oh, we're from Kansas. My son's a priest. Yes, Dad. Yep. Yeah, you're right.
I saw a small bandana hanging from his backpack. I knew. Okay, so who are you? What do you do for a living? I mean, what's your, like, we didn't introduce you at all other than.
I think we did.
Not having,
I said you're Father Grellinger, I said you're at Newman, but, like, what does that mean? I don't know.
I'm the chaplain of Newman University. I've been there 3 years now. I started last summer also at the House of Formation.
That's right.
I kind of moved into the House of Formation, work with seminarians there, help with their, I'm the director of field apostolates, so they're kind of outgoing field formation
what is
with
that?
Catholic charities.
Yes. Yeah, what does that mean? What does that look like? Actually, I didn't even think about
that's
this.
That's a legit question.
It's kind of fitting to have you on here.
Right.
It's almost like the Spirit is helping you.
I told you this is going to be a good idea. Okay, yeah, so walk us through what apostolate looks like. So like almost day in life of a seminarian, what would that look like for our House of Formation boys as far as what you help with?
What I help with, so, I mean, I do some of the just formation advising for the guys, but my main role then is to help them set up, go to their field work. So we have guys who will go into the Catholic schools to see what it's like to be a Catholic school teacher and to learn how to teach things that, you know, might be helpful in the future. And we send guys to Catholic charities to work with adult day services or with Our Daily Bread or with St. Anthony Family Shelter. We send guys to the Lord's Diner. We send guys to work with the Vagabond Missions to work with inner city kids and kind of do Bible studies with them. We send them to do young athletes.
What does that mean?
Like Special Olympics for really young kids that we run from the diocese. And so we send.
We run it as a diocese?
Yeah, Myra Jacobs runs it. It's a favorite of one of the guys because, I mean, the kids are just so joyful. The guys coming back from that in such a good mood. And like, what did you do? I pulled a kid on the carpet around the gym like for an hour, but they had a great time. They love it.
Yeah. So it's a cool part of their formation because, yes, we can teach them a lot of theology or philosophy and stuff, and we can teach them to pray, but if you're going to be trained to be a priest, you need to work with people, and you need to work with people in care homes and in schools, and so it gives them that ground education experience of things. Even that, I think it helps them with discernment because you're tasting what it's like to be a priest,
right?
To be in the schools and to be helping people in the hospitals and stuff. So I think it helps with their discernment, helps with their formation. It's a pretty cool thing. And we get to do it in the diocese because we have our own seminary. So the guys are meeting people like Myra Jacobs who like they'll work with in the future. So they know what we're putting on as a diocese and then they get to know the people of the diocese. So it's really pretty neat opportunity.
So you pick which apostle they get? Or
I do. I kind of work with some
like
of them.
A draft? How does?
Yeah. It is kind of hard.
Can guys suck up a little bit and bribe
we
you?
We have a 100-yard sprint.
Really slip a 20 in.
But some guys are like, I don't know if that this is his year for that thing. Like maybe one more year before we put him in that situation. But
not every personality is made for every situation.
Sure. Right. We try if they're in there 3 or 4 years to give them an experience with different ministries. But
what were your guys' apostolics during seminary?
So I was at a prison for mentally disturbed. So I would hang out with a guy there, visit with him.
My Father boy, Adam Larry is going Ministrina, to save
number
souls
one
to the sacrament of confession.
I got
to
duck out.
On.
Sorry. Keep it up.
Where are you going?
I got to go get confessions. I got to do priest stuff. What are you doing?
I'm
recording
podcast.
Doing priest stuff.
Thanks, guys.
All right, good talking
See
to you.
Adam. Thanks.
Okay, where were you? So you were at a hospital, a prison?
What was that? In Conception used to send there at St. Joseph.
That's right.
Handicap.
We know, neither of us had that, but I forgot about that.
But yeah, so I had a... I used to hang out with a murderer.
Is that true?
I'd go. He was a great guitar player, and I'd go and sit, and he'd write, tell me the songs he would, and we just kind of talk about Jesus and hang out a little bit. I did Big Brothers, Big Sisters. I taught RCIA. I was a campus minister at the Mount when I was a deacon, so I was in charge of the campus ministry for the university side.
Really?
Uh-huh. And what else? And I did a halfway house in Baltimore.
Wrong that Drew is doing.
Yeah, I didn't know you were an expert.
We don't have that long of a podcast.
I didn't know you were part of the
squad.
Well,
you know, actually, my specialty is East Coast Catholic, so it probably would not relate.
Totally different. What'd you have, Gary?
Yeah, nursing home for a year at Conception, so just taking communion and visiting with folks once a week. Then a couple times did like youth group, so I just go to the youth group and help out, hang out at that. RCIA 1 year, and then once I was in Chicago, I think I was just a deacon and just helping with a lot of different formational stuff, different classes, Bible studies, whatever they kind of asked me to do.
That's not Father Drew screaming, if you can hear that through the microphones. This is a big child family conference.
Yeah, so there are just people, just to set the stage, we're in Century 2, where I've seen a number of musicals over the years. I saw Lion King here.
Oh, wow.
How was it?
What's the best show you've ever seen at Century 2?
Probably Lion
Wicked.
King.
I've seen Lion. You've seen Wicked.
I don't like
Wicked.
Wicked.
Yeah. What?
I know. It's a terrible
thing. What do you
mean
thing? Don't like
I don't like Wicked. I didn't think it was that good.
What about it?
It was boring. And
what?
The music is overrated. I'm going to say it. Hot take for the night. Wicked is extremely overrated.
That's your worst take. That's honestly the worst take I've ever heard from you.
It's probably the second worst thing I've ever seen here.
What's the worst thing you've ever seen here?
Golly. I'm embarrassed.
My mom might come and have a talk.
Yeah.
She's made it her life goal that she'll like pay for people to go see Wicked.
Really?
They have not, like, she wants everyone to have experienced Wicked. And I agree, it's that good.
I've seen it twice. It's magnificent.
You've seen it twice?
I saw it in Tulsa and I saw it in St. Louis, yeah. I'd go again. If it was here again, I'd pay, yeah.
I don't understand. I will say, okay, it's not the second worst I've ever seen, but it wasn't good. It wasn't good.
That's
next
weird.
Next time,
man.
If it ever comes again, my mom is buying both of us tickets and we're going to go.
So we're in this big conference center and people are just walking by. We're just going to see what happens over the next
30,
45 minutes. I truly don't know what's going to happen.
That is the story of my priesthood.
Yeah.
Just see what
happens. I don't have any clue what's going to happen here. Okay. What you did, the apostolics.
Yeah, what were your apostolics?
Mine were just probably similar to your guys's. I brought communion to Homebound. I taught second grade. I taught first communion. That was really a fun, like being in charge of a bunch of second graders for first communion. And we've got our next guest, and we'll get back to apostolics. But we do have a new guest. Please step up to the microphone.
I'm gonna say this guest makes me nervous.
This guest intimidates me. Stop it. Come back here.
Please introduce yourself.
Yes. Tell the people who you are.
Why do I intimidate you? Is my question.
No, you intimidate him. I'm just nervous about what you will say in the microphone. I'm not intimidated. I'm just worried about the editing I will have to do afterwards.
Your daughter and I are in a little tiff. And so just to start with that, and we'll get into that. We can get into that
I'm
here.
Lori Dornemann.
Lori, what's your deal?
What is your deal?
What are you doing here at the conference?
You've got something new going on. I think before we...
Oh, gosh, yes.
What are you doing this fall?
I'll be teaching ELA at Holy Spirit Catholic School.
Woo, woo.
Wow.
Lucky people at Holy Spirit.
That's awesome.
Crazy.
But that's not why you're here.
No. I have a ministry called the Parenting Dare, where the mess of our life kind of became our ministry of... All right, so pornography is a thing. It's a thing that creeps into homes, and so we just raise awareness of helping Catholic moms understand the issue of it and how to talk to their kids and help them navigate a life that's integrated without pornography. So it's called the Parenting Dare. That's what we do.
Which is a hugely necessary thing just in the world today, unfortunately, in the world we live in.
We give kids phones, and we give them all the electronics, and we don't even think about it because our kids are great, and we love them, and that's all we see. And so we can't see the underside, and they're struggling.
Yeah,
and so
absolutely.
As parents, we need to open our eyes and help them navigate.
Just speaking from working with college kids and discernment, just kind of connecting these things, I think one of the main things that keeps men from discerning well and thinking well and being good men and like rising up to challenges in general is pornography. And they're both, whether it be addiction and then the shame and inability then to give the time and the space that their brain is at is really, so just what we're doing is really harming our discernment of our young men to priesthood.
Just the energy they put into fighting it. I mean, the guys that are pushing back, but the amount of emotional energy that they put in that then prevents them from being able to go into other things that, I need to be able to discern this, I need to pray this, because they're just worn out with the struggle of it. So what you guys are doing is hugely important.
Is that going into, you've read the new Ratio and everything, and they're kind of encouraging this even a year before entering into seminary formal formation to have a year kind of without your phone and a detox from the from the society. Do you think that goes into it of struggles with pornography and maybe everything else with that? But
it's a piece of it. So the Ratio itself, there's some places that are taking that approach. It calls for basically teaching better relationship with technology. So some are going with a complete fast. Some are saying, let's look at some other options to do that. But focusing, and we're working on our plan for that, the House of Formation, of how do we help guys to have a healthy relationship with technology? Because it's not going away. And honestly, if you're doing ministry, you're going to be dealing with some sort of technology. It'd be lovely to be able to say, I'm never going to have any technology, but that's not a reality that our world very often allows us to live in. And so how do we have that healthy relationship? Right. But yeah, Rome is really encouraging seminaries to take new energies to look at that very thing.
And our thing, God loves us, and we just have to let, we call it parenting below the line, because when I found out that my son was struggling in here, he let me in, and then together we could navigate that. Right. And so to me, it's like he, and how he got out was letting God under his line to know that he's loved and he's seen. And so there's acceptance there, even in your sin, and then coming out of it. So it's just a process.
Yeah, like,
and I love my life. I love what I get to do. I love moms.
And we should say that for anyone that was listening, we love Lori. Okay.
we
like to
me.
Give her a hard
we're a little
time.
Scared of
but
you.
Well, yeah. And we know her family and know her sons and they're great people. And so yeah, we're
just in my life, Lori's daughter, Rachel, is my development director. That's what
I forgot about that. I forgot about
that. She said some insulting things to me today. I've said some insulting things to her. I've been trying to recruit her boyfriend. Rachel, her daughter, and her daughter's boyfriend and I went out to Mort's the other day, and I was trying to get Luke to become a priest the whole day.
Oh!
And
well, no wonder!
Yeah, it was a thing. It was a thing. And then she and Luke kind of were having some more serious conversations about things, and then she got sick, and I've been implying that maybe God is telling her something by having this conversation, and she didn't love that. And then she's really good at her job, and I'm not as good at fundraising as she is, and so we've been going at it a little bit. But, okay, so Lori's daughter, Rachel, is my development director. One of her sons works in my coffee shop.
Which one works in the coffee shop?
Matt works in the coffee
shop. I didn't realize Matt was
one of her daughters goes to Wichita State and is around St. Paul. One of her sons was in the seminary. One of her sons' wife was a focused missionary at Wichita State. And so
yeah, we like
Eric helps with Knights.
Eric was in Knights, very involved in Knights of the Holy Queen.
Also, it should be pointed out, ornaments are easy to pick out because they're all
gigantic.
They are a tall people. They are a tall people. I'm surprised that you let Rachel work in the same office with you, Drew.
That's part of the reason why she intimidates me. And you intimidate me. She's big. Yeah, her daughter played basketball in college. And
I have seven sisters, and they're all normal people.
Normal people.
They are like 5'6".
You're normal too.
You are the most normal.
One time we were kids, Lori heard how long it had been since I was at confession. I had gone to confession, and it was a few months, and she were babysitting, and it was a Saturday night, and Lori took me and my brother and sister to confession. We told our parents, that's why we were like, we went to confession tonight, Mom and Dad, because we hung out with the Dornemans. I do want to ask, okay, so one of your sons was in the seminary for a time.
4 years.
We listened to, this is primarily for vocations, a lot of moms and parents listen to this. Just real briefly, what was that experience like? He's in, and he discerns out. Just some highlights of your emotional thoughts. I know.
Basically,
I think you and I have had that conversation before.
Yeah, I mean, it was difficult to let him go, and I cried all the way to Conception Seminary.
Me too.
So did you.
Me too.
Different reasons.
But it was difficult. And then I'm not a chanty Benedictine mom.
Okay.
So when I visit him, I'm like, just read out. No. It was hard. It was a hard situation because I love, I'm a Baptist at heart. Like, give me all the praise and worship. And so that was hard. And then
we don't get to, I know. We've lost. Rusty Johnson is here trying to help us and trying to get us out of this jam that we're in with Lori Dornemann.
Wow. But then once he got into it, I could see how much grace he was having. Then when he discerned out, I had then adjusted, and so it was just a roller coaster emotionally, but I just want God's literally whatever God wants for that kid. So,
amen.
Yeah,
me too.
You helped
We're on the same
lot,
page.
Father Chad.
We're on the same page.
Discerning.
He's now married.
He's married and has a baby.
And has a baby.
Babies
for
Jesus.
Due.
What's the name?
September 8th.
Due September 8th. That's a good day.
That's a good day.
Birth of the Blessed Mother.
Married Lucy Clark.
Good awesome. For him.
Beautiful.
Good for him.
So. All right. Well, thank you.
Thanks for being on, Lori. We love you. We love the Dornemans. We're sorry to imply anything otherwise.
Yes.
Lori has little tags on her name tag. It says chairperson and speaker angel. And it's just like a power move. She's like, I'm a big deal.
None of us have those things.
We don't have anything.
We have no power.
We had to pay for electricity.
Life goals.
All right. Go get them.
See you, Lori.
Man, we're just, we got the whole squad. Now we got the whole squad joining us here. Just everybody come on in here and get on the pod. Let's see what happens.
We
got a lot of Knights of the Holy Queen that are wanting to get on the pod here. We've got some seminarians. Let's just see what happens here over the next few minutes.
Tell us who you are.
I am Sam Georges, and I'm going to go into First College in the St. Joseph House of Formation next year.
Brand new seminarian.
Yes.
A baby sem.
Yes.
And he has to have a roommate. Who's your roommate?
Patty Olson.
Patty Olson.
What
who's
a
not
spot.
Here?
What are some of the first time seminarian things? Have you got your 4-volume breviary?
Yes.
Okay, we got right. that. That's good.
Got right. a Catholic surplus.
Notice he's wearing a house shirt. He's already advertising for the house.
Bro.
He's got a house shirt on.
Represent.
Have you been nervous? What's your nervous level? And I don't mean like for joining seminary. I mean like I was nervous showing up to seminary events for the first time. You don't quite like what do I wear? Those type like actually, not just like to become a priest or something like that.
I mean,
we got another guest coming up from Father Etienne looking at us.
Well, actually, a lot.
Go ahead, Sam.
A lot of the events.
Ignore the monk behind you.
The events I've been to, I haven't been too worried about is. Kind of what you mentioned before, just the fact of going into seminary, sometimes I'd look at back at it and I'm just like, what am I doing? But
it's like, a common really, reaction.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
is.
Yeah. But
then and it'll again, happen again and
oh,
again
yeah, I'm sure.
and again.
But what kind of calms me down is like, there is no risk doing this, really.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I'll only gain something good from doing this. Whether I go all the way, which right now I'm kind of hoping I do, but, or I don't know, we'll see. Or just completely collapses first year.
God's will be done, right?
That's actually a really God's great will. Perspective, yeah. Sam. You know that yeah. there's nothing to lose in this. That the Lord mm-hmm. will reward you in coming in and offering yourself to Him. So I love that. Yeah. I love that.
What'd you do this summer?
Totus Tuus.
Let's go.
Got back from Pilsen.
Just finished today,
you were
right?
in Pilsen
wow.
this weekend.
Yes.
Last
kids yeah. were crazy.
They're always crazy.
Are
man.
You gonna go home and sleep for 12 hours?
I don't know when to. Yeah, probably.
Yeah, that's
you earned it.
Pretty standard.
You earned it.
Pretty standard end of the summer Totus Tuus thing. Well, thanks, Sam. Yeah.
Sam, it's good to have you on. You're always Sam's a big fan, and we're a big fan of Sam.
Yes,
and we'll see what
I
happens.
Am.
Caleb, are you getting on here? Introduce yourself. Tell you what's going on.
You can move the microphone up.
Yeah, you're
there
very
you
tall.
We went from a shorter seminarian to a taller seminarian. Okay.
Hello, everybody. My name is Caleb Papsdorf. I'm a first year going into freshman year in the House of Formation.
And who's your roommate?
My roommate is Ethan Albers.
All the freshmen
He's
have...
He's just here. He just literally...
Was he? I didn't see Ethan
yeah,
go
I just
by.
Walked him back.
All the freshmen have roommates this year.
Me.
Did you have roommates in seminary, Chad?
I did my first year. I had a roommate.
My first roommate was Father Trevor Buster.
Really?
Yeah, just for a semester.
I bet
conception.
He would be a weird roommate.
Father Drew slept in our room one time.
Which is a weird thing to say. It's a weird thing.
So explain yourself.
It's just a... All right, what happened is that our AC in my room busted. It's like the second day of seminary, and I'm so unfathomably hot.
He's
I
a
don't
sweater
know my
always.
Roommate.
You always
I'm a big sweater guy. Yeah, I'm sweating at all times, and I didn't know what to do, and Garrett was a floor below, maybe, or something like that, yeah. or their AC was working. I don't really remember. I just went and I slept on the floor of their room, because I didn't really know Trev that well, but obviously I knew Garrett, and so
he was Father Trevor was a great roommate, except he hit the snooze like... 8 times
every
morning.
Oh, those are the worst.
Yeah.
Don't be one of those, Caleb. Don't be one of those. Do not be the roommate that hits the snooze 12 times.
Caleb, where are you from?
I'm from down in Viola. I go to St. John's in Clonmel.
Clonmel, new church. Yeah. Father Tetra, stand
we
up.
So the guy right before, also Clonmel guy, Sam.
Oh, he didn't say
Caleb
that.
Sam and Clonmel guy. Yeah.
And we've got, it's looking like we've got at least one more coming in next year.
There is
year.
A senior in Clonmel who is, he's just waiting for my door to open so he can start the app. That would probably be a live signing you could do right here.
Perfect.
You could sign here.
We do need to have an announcement on the pod at some point. What'd you do this summer, Caleb?
I worked maintenance for the Sisters of St. Joseph.
Oh, yeah.
Here in Wichita.
That's a cool deal, actually. Yeah. That's a cool space.
It's been really nice. I've been learning all kinds of new skills. The sisters are amazing.
Do you want to work maintenance at St. Paul? Or do you have something
How are you picking weeds?
You cannot say no fast enough, Caleb.
Yeah,
he's an assistant vocation director. You're not allowed to say no to him.
That's a great point.
Yeah, well, sorry, next summer is Totus Tuus.
It's hard to argue with that.
Worth a try.
It's hard to argue with that.
Good deal, Caleb. Thanks. You're the man.
Thanks for stopping in,
We're
Caleb.
Always supporting you. You let us know. Just keep us updated.
Thanks for having me.
We got your back, buddy.